Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to Natural Eating with Alyssa. Today we're having a rocky road start. Something happened to me this morning that hasn't happened in 15 years of doing this show, which is my alarm didn't go off. However, I'm still ready to rock and roll, so we're going to be okay. And I'm going to be getting ready while we talk. Oh, you need to just love it when life happens in a way that you didn't expect. Sort of like having a guest walk in that you expected, but you aren't prepared. Except I am prepared. I'm such a Lucy. So today we're talking about gearing up for 2024, and what I've been enjoying about this book is that not having anybody to show me the ropes when I was growing up, I really noticed that there was just a lot of holes in my education, and I would have loved to have had someone like me, who's sort of a Lucy, come and teach me and do what I needed to do. Showed me the ropes, so to speak. And I think that's something that we all are looking for. To have somebody help us get what we need out of life. And I think that's something that I'm very grateful for Linda McKinsey and for all of you out there for doing this show, because I think we need to know more, and that learning is a process that happens every day. And I think this is something that, thank God we have each other, because I think sometimes we need each other to lean on, to learn from, and to move forward one way or the other. I know I certainly have appreciated America's Kitchen, America's Test Kitchen, ATK, because they've really made a lot of this show possible. And I think that's something that we all need to look at, where we learn from and who are our mentors, so to speak. And this is something that, thank God we have each other. So thank God for you out there. Today we're talking about knives. I think something that if you have a good set of knives, it makes all the difference in the world. But do you need that many knives is the point. I know with TriBest, they certainly introduced me to the world of zirconian knives. And I found that was certainly wonderful. And then there's always the stainless steel knives, which are quite amazing. And I think, you know, it's knowing what you really use. You know, I find that there's probably three knives that I use the most, and the rest are window dressing. That I have them, but it isn't something that I use on a daily basis, that's for sure. So that having one good serrated knife, I think, is absolutely essential. That tends to do most of your carving. It certainly does something for bread, and it's probably the best choice for bread. And then having a good paring knife that's short, it's thin, it's got sharp, you know, serrations. Yeah, certainly that's one choice of a knife. And then just having a good a cleaver, because if you're going to do any big chopping things, that certainly makes all the difference in the world. And so I think, you know, the meat cleaver, I love America's Test Kitchen. You know, this somewhat medieval-looking knife can seem intimidating, but it's not that hard to use. You know, here are some tips from our resident knife expert to help you cut safely and correctly. First off, setting up your cutting board. Make sure your cutting board is flat, not warped, and stable. Anchor it with a damp towel or cutting board stabilizer so it doesn't move around on the counter. If you're using a wood cutting board with a one-way grain, make sure to cut perpendicular to, or at least a slight angle to the grain. Otherwise, you risk splitting the cutting board when you chop. Use a pinch grip for slicing through dense foods and a power grip for chopping poultry or meat. And, you know, for slicing, use a slight rocking motion rather than a hacking motion. For chopping, keep your non-dominant hand out of the way. Raise your arm slightly from the elbow, and then bring it down on the food, using your wrist to direct the knife and apply force. You know, you're going to slice all the way through. You know, if the cleaver gets stuck halfway through the item you're cutting, place your non-dominant hand on the spine of the knife and apply pressure to drive the knife downward and finish the cut. So, you know, I think all these things are important. I think, you know, three knife skills that they talk about that all cooks should know is to use the right grip for the most control, choke up on the knife, which means, you know, come up on the handle up to the blade, with your thumb and index finger actually pinching the heel of the blade. So, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, I can't use the golf club as a real good analogy, but you want to come right up to the blade, and that way you have the most control over the knife. It's called a pinch grip, and if you need to use extra force when cutting through hard foods, just hold the handle. This is known as a power grip. Now, you want to keep your fingers safe whenever you're cutting. This is absolutely critical, and I know that, you know, knife skills are something that any good chef needs to have someone show you. If you have someone in your life that can absolutely give you the skills that you might not have, it's worth the time invested to go do something like that. You want to make a bear claw shape with your non-knife hand, which means you're tucking your fingers under. The fingers need to be tucked away from the knife, and it holds the food in place this way. And then you're resting your knuckles against the blade of the knife to provide guidance, okay? During the upward motion of the slicing, reposition your hand, your guiding hand, for the next cut. So your fingers are moving away from the knife as you continue to cut. And, you know, if you're using the right cut for the job, you know, to cut small items, you're going to push that blade forward and down using its curve to make slow, smooth strokes. And with each cut, you move the knife, not the food, and the blade should touch the board at all times. And it's a rocking motion, and I think this is something that you certainly can, you know, learn by watching chefs on TV. And it's kind of like ka-chunk, 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 where you get the motion of the knife, the motion of the cutting, and the motion of your hands moving together. It's a beautiful little dance, actually. So this is something that you can definitely use as a skill ongoing for the rest of your life. You know, to cut a large item like a big eggplant or a watermelon, or sometimes your squashes, your winter squashes, You want to lift the entire blade off the board to help make smooth strokes. And I think this is important. So as long as you're using the right cut for the job, cutting can be an absolute pleasure. And to cut through those tough foods, as I said, like the squashes and sometimes watermelon, you're going to cut straight down, pushing that blade gently. Make sure your hand and the knife are both dry to prevent any slippage. And I think this, again, is so important. You know, I know I like to keep my knives in a wood block, and that keeps them protected. They're not sitting in a drawer rubbing against each other, because you certainly don't want that. You want them kept separate. And I love it. It says, putting together your own a la carte set means you have complete control over the knives that make it into your collection, so that you can ensure that knives that you buy are good quality and that you actually use them. And I think this is, you know, so important. I know, you know, a good stainless steel knife, a good zirconian knife, a good knife that can be sharpened. You know, they talk about serrated knives, you know, and it says knives with serrated edges stay sharp longer than smooth-bladed knives. Their pointed teeth do most of the work, so the edges endure less friction. But you can and should sharpen your serrated knife if you notice a decline in its cutting precision. The good news is you don't need a super specialized tool or a painstaking technique. If you own a regular knife sharpener, you may already have the right tool for the job. That manual knife sharpeners can ride up and down. They're different serrations, that pointed and scalloped and sawtooth. Sharpening not only the edges and tips, but those deep valleys as well. So how can you tell whether your knife should be honed or sharpened? Whenever you feel that your knife is less sharp than it should be, try honing it first. Honing is a gentle way to extend the time between sharpening sessions, and it pushes the cutting edge of the blade back into alignment. You know, the whole thing is that you're trying to create edges that are super sharp, and actually a super sharp knife is actually so much safer to use than a dull knife. So you want to make sure that your knives are sharpened on a regular basis and that you make time for it, you know. I think this is one of the things that you can certainly bring even the dullest blade back to a brand new razor sharp condition in minutes just by using the right tool. And, you know, I think there are certainly different sharpeners out there. Finding the right one for you. You know, owning a knife sharpener certainly makes it easier to tune up your knives. And I think this is one of those things that you can't overdo it, so to speak. So there are manual sharpeners. You know, the tall walls are holding that knife steady, and you're sliding the blade through. They have a smaller footprint. They easily stow in a drawer, making them even more convenient for routine upkeep, because it's right there. You don't have to plug it in. There's no power. You can't repair extensive damage to a blade, like removing notches, but you can certainly know that they're less expensive than electric sharpeners. Now, those electric sharpeners, the spring-loaded guides restrict the knife's movement so that the entire edge makes steady contact with the abrasive at a precise angle, and I think this is important. You want to make sure that your blade is getting certainly sharper, and, you could take, I love the, if you remember the old Ginsu ads, that would slice through a tomato and slice through a metal can. Oh, it's fun to think of those ways that we've been educated. But the electric sharpeners can quickly repair extensive damage, so they cannot be used to sharpen blades with a full bolster, as the entire blade cannot be drawn through the sharpener. And they're relatively expensive, so you know, this is certainly one thing. Whetstones are something that I've certainly had fun using. They're extremely adaptable because the cook holds the knife at a specific angle to match the edge angle, and whetstones can be used to sharpen any knife, so that most feature a coarse side and a fine side, which determines the amount of the sharpening at each pass. And it can take a lot of time to restore a very dull blade, but it's worth its time in gold. I remember when I got my first sharpening set, I actually would walk into restaurants, local restaurants where I live. I live in the desert here. And ask the chef if he needed his knives sharpened. And I can't tell you how grateful the knives and the chefs were that I was there. And so, you know, it's if you have a relationship with your restaurant owners or your chef, or just a chef in your life, this certainly is a gift that is priceless and is so appreciated. You know, I think I look at my life with knives, and I'm actually quite grateful that I've, you know, learned about knives and have, you know, again, a small paring knife, a chef's knife, a serrated knife. Those are three knives that you will use over and over and over again. You don't really need all the super fancy knives. But I think knowing that you have a good blade and that you have a good sharpener makes all the difference in the world. In one of the recipes I'm going to share with you, which definitely would use a lovely knife, is a pan-seared, sesame-crusted tuna steak. You know, the delicate sesame crust on these tuna steaks will put your knife's edge to the test. Sharp knives will slice right through, but dull knives will tear the crust apart. For tuna steaks cooked medium, observe the timing for medium rare, and then tent the steaks with foil for 5 minutes before slicing. If you prefer tuna steaks cooked so rare that they're still cold in the center, try purchase the steaks that are 1.5 inches thick and cook them according to the timing below. And we'll then, you know, you check for doneness by nicking the fish with just a little paring knife. And this includes, as ingredients, three-fourths of a cup of sesame seeds, 4 tuna steaks that are 8 ounces each, about 1 inch thick, and 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, and 1/2 tablespoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon, a teaspoon of table salt. You don't want to oversalt. And 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. So you're spreading the sesame seeds in a shallow baking dish or a pie plate, and you pat the tuna steaks dry with paper towels, and you use just 1 tablespoon of oil to rub both sides of the steaks, so you're getting them nicely coated. And then you sprinkle with a little salt and pepper, and that'll hold on to everything, sort of puts a grip on the road, so to speak. And you press both sides of each steak in sesame seeds to coat. And then you're heating the remaining 1 tablespoon of oil in a 12-inch nonstick skillet over high heat till just smoking. And you swirl to coat that pan. And you add the tuna steaks and cook 30 seconds without moving the steaks. Reduce the heat to medium-high and continue to cook until the seeds are golden brown, about 1.5 minutes. And you're using tongs carefully. You flip the tuna steaks and you cook without moving the steaks until they're nice and golden brown on the second side. They're going to be opaque, the parameters, and translucent and cool at the center. And then check with the tip of the paring knife and registered should be about 110 degrees for rare, about 1.5 minutes or till opaque at the parameters, and reddish pink at the center and registering 125 degrees. So having a meat thermometer certainly can help to define how you're doing with your meat dish. And you're going to be cooking about 3 minutes for medium rare. And you slice your steak 1/4 inch thick, and serve. And I know for me, I would love cucumbers with something like this because it's such a clean, bright taste to have with the tuna. Obviously, having some fresh lemon on hand, that lemon juice can make all the difference in the world. Cutting boards are certainly an essential part of having a kitchen. And these days, cutting boards have become quite exotic. And for the first time in my life, I'm actually ordering a new cutting board that has little containers underneath the board. And on the side, there's another container that you can slip, it's another kind of container that you can just slide the food right off the board, right into the container, and use it in any way that you would like. So if your cutting board materials matter, they certainly come in a range, including bamboo, which I appreciate so, which is both part of hard and soft woods. Plastic is certainly there, wood fiber composite, and glass, aside from glass, which will damage your knife edge and shouldn't be used to cut on. All these materials have some good things going for them. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about the care of your board and what it is that you need to do to make sure that your board is properly cleaned and oiled, because it needs to be surfaced, and you want to make sure that you take care. So when we come back, more talk. Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflair.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Now, continuing the talk and talking more about cutting boards. Can your cutting board go in the dishwasher, some people say. And you do not want to put good wood or bamboo boards in the dishwasher, period. Dishwasher environment's too harsh for these boards. Detergent will wear away the finish that you build up through oiling, and water soaking into the wood will eventually cause the boards to warp and crack at their joints. So in a word, no. Do not put your cutting board in the dishwasher. Now, plastic and composite boards are dishwasher safe. So you can opt for one of these if you really don't want to wash by hand. You know, for wood and for bamboo boards, moisture is clearly the enemy. The more water they absorb, the more vulnerable they are to damage, including warping. And for composite and plastic boards, temperature is the culprit. Even though these boards are touted as dishwasher safe, the heat of the dishwasher can actually cause them to warp. So prevention is key. Once a board is warped, not much you can do to straighten it out. Time for a new one. To lessen the risk of warping, maintain your wood board by oiling it regularly. It helps to minimize the water absorption, and it makes sure that you're only using food-safe mineral oil, not cooking oils. And when you're buying a plastic board, choose one that's at least a half an inch thick, as thinner boards are more prone to warping. You know, it happens to the best of us that, you know, you take your wood or bamboo cutting board or baking peel out of the cabinet and realize it's developed a dank, mildewy odor. You might even see mildew or mold growing on it. Maybe you put it away damp, or you left a few traces of food on it. Don't despair. You can get rid of that mildew by thoroughly sanitizing the board. The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service recommends using a dilute bleach solution, 1 tablespoon of unscented liquid chlorine bleach to a gallon of water. So that's 1 tablespoon of the liquid chlorine bleach to 1 gallon of water. You're flooding the surface of the board with the solution and let it stand for a few minutes. Let the solution drain off, and then flip the board and apply more solution to the other side. Rinse the whole board with clean water and pat it dry with paper towels. And remember, prevention is always the best. So to keep all your cutting boards dry as possible, never leave them sitting in a puddle. And store them in a well-ventilated area to prevent new mildew or mold from happening. Now, a cutting board's grain is determined by the way it's constructed. End grain boards are made by gluing together blocks of wood, each with the grain running vertically. Edge grain boards are made by gluing together long planks of wood, each with the grain running horizontally. So some people think end grain boards are gentler on knives because the knife slices with the block's exposed grain. But is this true? And does it mean that end-grained cutting boards are better than edge-grained boards? As if they believe that it's not. No, on both counts. Our tests that have showed no correlation between knife sharpness and cutting board grain. And we actually have several reasons for preferring edge-grained boards. So they're much less likely to split and crack and use than end-grained boards. And end-grained boards absorb more water than edge-grained boards, which cause the wood to expand and contract and puts stress on all those glued joints. So end-grained boards require more oil to maintain than edge-grained boards. And, you know, the bottom line is, how many boards do you need? It doesn't have to be complicated. Basically, every kitchen should have a full-sized, all-purpose cutting board to get the biggest, you know, get the biggest board that your counter and sink will allow, and that you're able to lift comfortably. Obviously, you don't want it to be too heavy. Additional boards can be nice to have, but you definitely don't need them to complete your equipment collection. You know, some people say, well, 3 boards is fine, sort of a small, medium, and large. You could certainly do that. You know, the compact boards are certainly easy to maneuver and clean. I tend to use 2 boards more than anything. And it's my small, it's medium and large. And I'm just now getting a new cutting board that has containers that you can slide the food right into after you've cut it, and then you can cap them and put them in the fridge or use them for whatever food recipe you're going to be doing. So, you know, it's nice to know that you've got the right tool. You know, it's okay to work with raw meat on a wooden board. It's fine, as long as you clean the used board properly. This means scrubbing it thoroughly with hot, soapy water after each use, or alternately using a diluted bleach solution. Again, that's 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water. It's easier to do this in the sink. But if your board is very big or heavy, it's okay to clean it where it sits. Admittedly, somewhat of a messy task. You can't simply wipe it down with a wet sponge and call it a day, though. You're going to be needing to scrub that cutting board well on all sides, including the bottom, with a hot, soapy washcloth. After you've washed the board, don't let it drip dry. Instead, pat off as much mint moisture as you can with a clean dish towel and store it upright in a position that maximizes airflow. You know, it's like, you really need a cutting board? It's like, yes. It's certainly... You know, carving boards are designed to avoid, you know, that mess, because they have that a perimeter trench, and that traps the liquid, and that certainly makes it easier. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about, again, just gearing up your kitchen, or what happens when you've got the right equipment, the right skills, and, you know, what blade do you need? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflare.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to Elyssa, chef4you, @live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number 4, the letter U, @live.com. Elyssa, chef4you, @live.com. Start learning now.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Order one of Alyssa's 4 recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
It's a fact. With Clarins, life is more beautiful, and so are you. If you love beauty, and let's face it, love is behind everything we do, then you'll love Clarins Beauty Products. I use Clarins, and people ask me all the time how I stay looking so young. I tell them it's love. But now you know my real secret. It's Clarins. They have a full line of highly effective beauty products containing the highest quality ingredients while respecting the environment. Who wouldn't love that? Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Clarins and make your life more beautiful, starting with you.
Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
You know, in the kitchen, basically, blades abound. The knives are not the only sharp tools in the kitchen. When it comes to peeling, slicing, grating, and more, there's a whole world of blades to choose from. You know, if you certainly the can opener is one, and, you know, you should have a safety configuration. You know, there's more than one way to open a can. Traditional can openers puncture the top of the can and cut the lid inside the can's rim. So-called safety can openers cut into the side of the can and remove both the metal lid and the rim itself, which creates a smoother edge as well as a loose lid that sits on top rather than sinks into the can. But you might not know that the most traditional can openers can also be used as safety openers. So you place the can opener on the top of the can on the left-hand side with the cutting wheel on the outside of the can and gear on the inside rim. And then you turn that driving handle clockwise, and the opener will cut through the side of the can, severing the lid below the rim. And, you know, one caveat is that while the lid will be smooth, the top of the can will be sharp and slightly jagged, unlike when actual safety opener. So what you're looking at here is, you know, it's good to have the can opener. It's good to have, I like to have that little thin grater that's wonderful for grating things like nutmeg and peppercorn and things like that. And then having a good shear, you know, that has a good, you know, medium-sized finger bows that's easy to use with any size hand. And then you have those nice long blades, and they easily separate so that you can clean them thoroughly. And then the medium tension between the blades that's loose enough to open and close easily, but stiff enough to power through cuts. You know, and the idea that you're cutting greens, that you're cutting meat, that you're cutting all kinds of interesting foods for your kitchen. I think it's fun to have the tools there to use what you can and to learn what you can. I have always enjoyed watching the cooking shows because I think they show us so many wonderful skills if you're watching someone that, you know, that knows their stuff. So when you talk about a crispy roast butter filleted chicken that has rosemary and garlic, you're going to be adjusting your oven rack to the lowest position, and you're placing a 12-inch cast iron skillet on the rack. And you heat the oven to 500 degrees. Meanwhile, you're combining 1 tablespoon of oil, rosemary, and garlic in a bowl. So you've got a teaspoon of minced fresh rosemary and just 1 garlic clove that's been minced. And, you know, you're going to be having fun with, you know, the spices. I think this is absolutely wonderful. So that the oil, you're setting that aside. And with the chicken breast side down, you're going to use the kitchen shears. This is where those good kitchen shears can make all the difference. To cut through the bones on either side of the backbone, and then you discard the backbone. And then you're flipping the chicken over, you're tucking the wingtips behind their back, and press firmly on the breastbone to flatten it. And then you pat the chicken dry with paper towels, and then rub it with that remaining tablespoon of oil that you've mixed with rosemary and garlic. And you sprinkle it with a little salt and pepper. And when the oven reaches 500 degrees, you carefully place that chicken breast side down in the hot skillet. and reduce that oven temperature to 450 degrees, just 50 degrees lower. When you're roasting the chicken until it's well browned, in about 30 minutes, and using pot holders, remember that one, remove the skillet from the oven. You do not want to touch that skillet with bare hands. So you want to be careful of that hot skillet and gently flip the chicken breast side up. Brush the chicken with that oil mixture and then return the skillet to the oven and continue to roast the chicken until the breast registers 160 degrees and the thighs register 175 degrees. It takes about 10 minutes. And then you're transferring the chicken to a carving board tent. And then you tent it loosely with aluminum foil and just let it rest for about 15 minutes. And then carve the chicken and serve with lemon wedges. Yum, 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 yum. So, Inigo, you've got quite a bit to play with and things that you can do. You know, I think having a stand-up grater that you can put on a counter is certainly wonderful. You know, some people say I'm always skinning my knuckles on my grater. You know, and basically you want to go slow when you're using the grater. If you're worried about injuries, wear some cut-resistant gloves. You want to use longer strokes for faster grating. You can place the cheese in the freezer, for example, for 30 minutes prior to grating. It'll be firm and easier to grate. So that's a little tip that certainly helps. And you can coat the surface of the grater with a non-stick spray to prevent sticking. So apply pressure on the downward stroke only. The upward stroke won't shred anything. And then replace the grater as needed, because graters can dull too. And they can't be sharpened, just like knives. You know, sharp graters are the safest, and I think that's so important to remember. And you know, again, whether you're zesting, whether you're grating, whether you're, you know, doing the kind of thing that I think makes all the difference in the world, you know, this is something that having the right tools there certainly make all the difference in the world. You know, mixing, measuring, basically you've got, you know, your wide and shallow bowl, your tall and narrow bowl, your tall and wide bowl. You know, it's just nice to have. The tall and wide, for example, provides plenty of room for your hands and tools to certainly work comfortably. And that tall and narrow, you know, good steep sides contain the splatters and make it easier to tell when the dough has doubled, for example. And wide and shallow, you know, a roomy, shallow bowl makes it easier to toss foods, you know, whether you're dealing with salads and things like that. And you know, you're going to be using big, broad motions, you know, combining ingredients gently in just a few strokes. And we'll be coming back shortly, so stay tuned.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflair.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. Earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number four, the letter U, at live.com. Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. Start learning now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Now, obviously measuring and doing measurements is important when you're dealing with a kitchen of any kind. And there's certainly different ways you can look at it. I know converting teaspoons to tablespoons to cups, you know, all these things, you know, three teaspoons, you know, one tablespoon is a 16th of a cup, you know. So, you know, you see what you need to know with all this stuff. You know, plenty of recipes are going to work fine if you carefully measure the ingredients using liquid and dry measuring cups, which is why we continue to include, you know, volume measurements in our ingredient lists. If weighing is crucial to a recipe's outcome, we let you know. And I think, you know, this is why having a recipe writer that you trust, it certainly makes all the difference in the world. You know, that said, a digital scale can be a game changer in the kitchen. You know, for baking recipes where measuring dry ingredients by hand is the only way to guarantee accuracy, using a scale versus using measuring cups can mean the difference between a cake that's fluffy and tender or one that's squat and dense. For bread recipes, we often weigh water and other liquids too, so your scales can have, you know, many applications in cooking. Using one to portion, you know, burgers, for example, means no more guessing. If the patties are the same size, and then they'll cook at the same rate, and the scales, you know, rare function resets the display, you know, weight back to zero. And I think this is wonderful to know. Temperature and time. Certainly, after all the effort you put into preparing and cooking your meal, the last thing you want it to do is to burn, or just as bad, to be raw inside. So keeping a good thermometer and timer on hand can prevent disaster. So that, you know, bread in a loaf pan, you know, you insert this thermometer from the side, just above the pan edge. And, you know, there's certainly skills on how to use them. And I recommend, I just recommend that if you can add to your book list in your kitchen, it's called Kitchen Gear, The Ultimate Owner's Manual. We've been using it for the last several episodes. And I just find that, again, it's good to have a reference on hand. You know, having the right thermometer for the job can make all the difference. And I think this is important. I'm not going to go over this right now, but I think it's something that you can look up. You can, decide what works best for you and what, you know, kinds of recipes you like to make. You know, the kitchen timers that you want to avoid, the digital models certainly are the best. And basically, the dial-faced timers, they're sort of old-fashioned models, and they're less precise than the digital models. And again, this is if you need precision. If you don't, it doesn't matter. So this is, you know, the kind of thing that, you know, you can use a timer on your smartphone. You know, your smart speaker, your oven, or your microwave, so that there are good reasons to have a dedicated kitchen timer. Unlike some of the alternatives, the timer can be carried into another room. So it's always visible, and it's within earshot. You know, a kitchen timer is also often easier to set than the timers on appliances, and you don't have to worry about dirtying your phone with food. So digital models to old-fashioned dial-faced timers certainly tend to be more precise, easier to set, and easier to read. Now, one of the things in a kitchen that I think is just fun to make the choices, but also it's just visually very satisfying for me to look at, is, you know, they have a good sense of humor at America's Test Kitchen. What a crock. Some tools are so handy and used so often, it's just not practical to hide them away in a drawer. So the kinds of things that you can keep in a crock that certainly you will use on a regular basis, it's an all-purpose whisk that will emulsify sauces and rich creams and blends, certainly, you know, does the dry ingredients and more, and all the different types out there. So a balloon whisk is the best all-purpose option to have. A large silicone spatula, you know, nimble and flexible. It can be used to fold batters, mix ingredients, and scrape bowls and pans. You can even scramble eggs, and certainly much more. A fish spatula, which is slightly curved, there's certainly more information about that. The fish spatula is certainly long, it's moderately flexible, it scoops food under the food very easily, and that narrow heads are easier to maneuver in tight spaces. The shorter handle also offers superior control, and it's just slightly curved edges give leverage for lifting the food, whereas the conventional spatula, that short, thick head can't accommodate large foods and push foods instead of sliding it. The wide heads are hard to maneuver in tight spaces, and the long handles put the pan so much farther away from the food. So, look it up if you can. That fish spatula is certainly a good tool to have on hand in your kitchen. Kitchen tongs, so you can grab things and manipulate smaller, awkward foods with ease and toss and proportion those long strand pastas, such as spaghetti, with more control than with a pasta fork. Your wooden spoon, a good wooden spoon that's worth its weight in gold. A slotted spoon, it will drain easily and certainly remove smaller, delicate foods. A ladle, a pasta fork, a spider skimmer, which gently and efficiently removes food, such as ravioli or fried chicken pieces, from hot oil or boiling water. And a good potato masher, which will mash potatoes and other soft foods. And to have this in the crock sitting on your kitchen sink or countertop is certainly one of the things that are wonderful. And I'm always amazed at what I continue to learn at whatever age I'm finding myself, you know, being open to more and new information. So there's, you know, all sorts of whisks that you can look at and see which one works best for you. The fish spatula is certainly wonderful. That's wonderful to have. And wooden spoon, a good wooden spoon. You know, the wider heads are more effective than narrow heads. The spoons with the thinner front edges are easier to slip underneath food, to scrape or scoop. And, you know, your scoop-shaped spoons can lift and move the food at a time better than flatter paddle-style models. So when we come back, we're going to have just some closing thoughts of how this gadgeting up for this brand new year can give you more pleasure in your kitchen. Stay tuned. Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books.
Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
A better world begins with you. Find out how on HealthyLife.net.
I certainly hope you're enjoying these shows as much as I am. I think, again, sharing basic information, basic skills can make all the difference of how you enjoy your kitchen, the pleasure you create in creating foods, meals, snacks, whatever you're doing. And I think each year, if you can improve your skill level, improve your vocabulary, go for what it is that you're looking for that satisfies you in the kitchen. I know my kitchen is small, but very efficient, and I think this is something that each year, if you can make things more efficient, you certainly can enjoy your kitchen with that much more pleasure. So this is my pleasure to give my time and skills to you. Thank you so much for listening and for telling friends about it. And I'll see you back next month. God bless.